Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's Hey, It's Okay. First of all, I should explain that your usual host, Joe Elvin, the editor-in-chief of Glamour, our great and glorious leader, sadly cannot be with us today. It's a very urgent Fashion Week business has called her away. How dare she go and do some real work?
Rude.
I know. So my name is James Williams. I'm the associate editor. So I'm literally stepping into the breach this week, slipping into her Manolos, metaphorically, not physically,
no,
I assure you.
You should see it.
So I'll be looking after things today. And also, I am also very ably assisted by two members of the Glamour team. We've got the lovely deputy editor, Lindsay Frankel.
Hello.
And the equally lovely social media editor, Kat Brown.
Greetings all.
And no Hey It's Okay would be complete without a mega celeb to sort of, you know, take us into proceedings. And I have to say, we are super excited by who's joining us today. She's a woman of many talents. How best to describe her? She's an actress, she's a model, she's a mum, she's a uber successful businesswoman. She is the utterly fabulous Elizabeth Hurley.
Hooray!
Hello.
Hello, Elizabeth.
You've upped the glam quota of this cupboard by about 80 million percent.
I'm loving your cupboard.
I mean, regular readers do know we regularly talk about just how glamorous this cupboard is. I mean, Elizabeth, this is surely a life highlight right here, right now.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's full of boxes and I secretly want to unwrap every single one. Christmas presents coming up.
To be honest, you can if you like.
I may well. I may loot.
Yeah. But Elizabeth, it's great to see you here because obviously it's hard to believe it. It's already October. But on a serious note, you know, October is a very important month because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you have a long time been an ambassador for Estee Lauder Company's Breast Cancer Awareness Campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about just how involved and for how long you've been involved with this campaign?
Yes, well, I've been going around the world raising funds and awareness of breast cancer for more than 20 years now, because when I first started working with the Estee Lauder companies, the very lovely Evelyn Lauder, who was Estee Lauder's daughter-in-law, came up to me and said, I've just started a new campaign and I formed a foundation and I wonder if you'd help me with it. And I said, yeah, well, absolutely, Evelyn, what is it? And she said, well, women all over the world are dying of breast cancer and nobody is talking about it. And I want to change that. And that's really where it started. And from then to today, there's just been the most massive change in how people talk about breast cancer, what they understand about breast cancer. And it's exactly what she set out to do. And, you know, we're all standing here. We've all got pink ribbons on. It is, as you say, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Fabulous companies all over the world are donating products to raise money. Buildings being lit pink, and remarkable improvements have been made in detection, in treatment. And I think women who have breast cancer now are less scared than they used to be before they knew more about the disease. So it's been a really good campaign.
I think that's lovely to hear, because a lot of the time you don't really hear the good news. And I think it's really lovely to hear somebody like yourself saying that there have been, you know, massive changes and massive improvements made, you know, and it's not quite, dare I say, the terrible bad news it once used to be.
Well, that's just it. I think why it really struck a chord with me when Evelyn asked me to help was because I'd very recently lost my grandmother to breast cancer. And she totally was of the generation of women who didn't want to talk about it at all. She didn't tell us she'd found a lump. She didn't tell her doctor she'd found a lump. And when she finally was in so much pain, she had to tell people. It was too far gone. because we know that if a tumour is detected early, there's more than a 90% chance of surviving breast cancer. But if it's not found early, if the tumour's spread and it's large, the odds are much more stacked against you. So that's why part of our campaign has always been early detection and teaching women to check their own breasts every month and to have regular mammograms and checkups with their doctor when they need to.
Because, you know, I think it is one of those things that does touch so many of our lives. I think even people in this room here today, I mean, I know some of the girls have first-hand experiences or friends who have first-hand experience of it.
Yeah, and it is something that not that long ago a friend of mine's sister was diagnosed, and obviously it was terrifying for her and her family, but it also felt not like a death sentence, which I think possibly 20 years ago when my friend's mother was diagnosed, it did feel like, this is how long have you got? Whereas actually, you know, it was phenomenal to for the first conversation that we had to be, okay, so what treatment are you having? Will you go for a mastectomy? You know, it was very kind of, it was very practical. I mean, obviously it was very emotional as well, but it was a practical, okay, so what's the next step? And it really hit home to me how we talk about this differently now, which I think is testament, pretty much can solely be laid at your door and Evelyn Lauder's door.
Well, yeah, I think the campaign has been phenomenal for awareness, but also because of the money raised for research. 20 years ago, people used to just talk about breast cancer. Now, if you talk to an oncologist or to any of the research scientists, they know there's many types of breast cancer. So now, unlike 20 years ago, depending on your type of breast cancer will depend on what treatment you receive. So not everybody are blasted with the same drugs that they used to be, because some of them don't work for particular cancers and they're unnecessary pain and trauma. So they're much more specialized now for any tumor that is detected, which again, so even though more women are being detected with breast cancer now, and even though, you know, we have had very good news, we still have to remember that in the UK, every 10 minutes, a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. And still wow. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer in their lifetime if they live to be 70. But nevertheless, even though more women are being detected with breast cancer because people are coming forward earlier and they're being tested more often, less women are dying of breast cancer. Mm. There are more survivors. Treatment is much, much better. So there is definitely positive news, even though we still need to find a cure. For that, of course, we need to raise money.
Mm. And speaking of raising money, I mean, I think the campaign to date has raised $65 million, I believe.
The Breast Cancer Awareness Campaign has raised, yeah, over $60 million, 50 of which have been given to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, which was also started by Evelyn Lauder, and that's raised more than $500 million.
Wow.
And we have 250 research scientists working today, and we give more than £1 million a year to the UK scientists. There's two fabulous men at the Royal Marsden, for example, just round the corner from me, who are just fantastic. I talk to them often, and they're doing really, really interesting research. Our research scientists have been right at the centre of all the major developments that have been made. So any money raised, when it goes straight into research, is a fantastic thing to do.
And so this year, Elizabeth, how can the Glamour readers and our listeners today, how can they get actively involved in this campaign this year? What can they do to support?
Well, yeah, I mean, our campaign this year is Take Action, We're Stronger Together. Because people say, what can I do? Well, the first thing always is fundraise, because there's so much fundraising we can do. Little things, anything, you know, selling your clothes on eBay and giving a percent to something is a great thing that most girls have got things they could sell. Sponsored walks, sponsored runs, cake sales. There's a million ways you can raise some money, and every penny helps. It really does. Otherwise, we're also just encouraging people to take care of themselves, because we know that the healthier you are, the more likely you are not to get sick. So we're encouraging healthy lifestyles, being more active, eating well. And also, if you know somebody that has breast cancer, thinking what you could maybe do to help them. And it might seem such a little thing, but I know when I've had friends who are going through chemotherapy, for them to know that someone was taking their kids to the park or doing their grocery shopping, just really, really simple things, checking in on them, going around and making a cup of tea and, you know, taking their kitchen as your kitchen, not expecting, you know, somebody to leap up. All those little things make a massive difference.
I'd also like to just take this moment just to highlight an incredible book for anybody who might be listening and might be interested, which is written by the journalist and author Lisa Lynch. Lisa was diagnosed with breast cancer at a very young age. She was only about 27, 28. She was the editor of a magazine at the time. And she went on to write a brilliant blog, absolutely filthy, very hilarious, called The C Word, and which was then turned into a fantastic book. And then Sheridan Smith played her in a film as well. Lisa was an absolutely amazing woman. It was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant book. And just for anybody who might be interested or just wants a read about cancer that does have quite a lot of fight in it, it's a wonderful read.
Did you talk in the past tense about it? Did she not survive?
I did. Yeah, very sadly, she relapsed and she didn't survive. And actually, speaking of the Marsden, who was just the most fantastic hospital, my aunt was treated there. Also Trinity Hospice, where Lisa spent quite a lot of her later days, I understand, were just absolutely tremendous. So yeah,
but she always had such an incredible outlook, even when the prognosis wasn't great, you know. So but you know, it's there's plenty of stuff you can do, and also I believe there's a box that Estee Lauder have also developed this year, if I'm correct in thinking, Elizabeth, and if people wanted to, you know,
it's called the Beauty Box. It's £20 and it has small sample sizes from lots of our brands like Advanced Night Repair, Smashbox, really beautiful things in there, and £12 of that, 60%, will go straight to breast cancer research. So it's a great box and you can get to try all the brands. It's fantastic.
What's not to love? You get some incredible products and you're doing some really great stuff.
Can I just vouch for Advanced Night Repair? It's incredible.
I've used it for 22 years, morning and night. Yeah. I love it.
So first up today, very much on topic with what we were talking about earlier, our first Hey It's Okay this week is Hey It's Okay to Talk About Breast Health. Now this seems a bit obvious, and I have to say, as a man working at a women's magazine, I have to say in my head, I would imagine most girls these days are quite breast aware, are checking themselves, but maybe, like I said, I've been working on women's magazines for too long, maybe that's not the case. What do we girls think about this?
Well, I mean, Elizabeth, I don't know if you have a take on this.
Well, I'd just like to quickly say that 1% of all breast cancers are found in men.
Yeah, I stand corrected. Yes, you're very right.
Yeah, not many people know that. And I've met a few men who have breast cancer. And it's a very, very strange conversation when you talk to them, because we're all totally thrown. And they are too, because obviously men aren't used to talking about their breasts ever.
To be honest, Elizabeth, I would argue men, I think, are particularly bad about talking about health in general. I think men are very much ones to bury their heads in the sand. I think women are generally a bit more grown up when it comes to knowing things aren't quite right. I think men can, like I said, bury their heads in the sand generally about their health and well-being and things that feel a bit off. So I can imagine
when to talk about their breasts is really something out of left field.
And I think it sounds really naff, but I think, I don't know if it's to do with machismo or if it just feels a bit emasculating, but you're right, it's a very important thing we should talk about for men, but obviously, you know,
but mostly women, it's of course for women, except of course all the dads and granddads and sons who lose their parents, their mothers, and go through this terribly traumatic time with them, even if they don't die. So no, breast health is of paramount importance, and it's interesting because, you know, girls today, young girls, probably many of the readers of Glamour, they won't remember a world without the pink ribbon. They're, you know,
I mean, it's so eponymous, isn't it?
But it wasn't. It really wasn't. Before I had that chat to Evelyn, there had never been a magazine cover pink for the month. There were no products sold to raise money. There were no buildings lit pink.
It's crazy.
There was no pink ribbon. I mean, it just wasn't talked about. And interestingly, she was inspired when the AIDS epidemic hit. They had phenomenal campaigners and they came up with the red ribbon, which was really the first ribbon that people really started to wear. And she was so inspired by how hard they'd worked and what they'd achieved. That's where she took the inspiration and said, let's make it pink because all women love pink.
Yeah. I'm remembering the very first time that I did any kind of exercise that was outside school, which was the Race for Life about 11 years ago. And it was just absolutely amazing having all these women there and their supporters as well, all wearing pink and all raising money. I think the interesting thing is that we do need to remember as well how to check our breasts. And I think that's something it's very easy to get caught up in the fundraising for other people, but other people have been, you know, us as well. And so it's really important just to have that good old fumble in the shower and really get to know the shape of your breast.
It is. And a doctor should teach you how to do it for the first time. And they say that girls should learn how to do it at puberty.
And do they teach it in schools, do we know?
I don't think they teach it in schools. No. I think it would probably be at your doctor, who would be delighted to show you how to check your own breasts. You should do it every single month as a pubescent girl and onwards.
It needs to become something that, I mean, on that subject of talking about breast health, it needs to become something like, you know, now it would be unheard of not to go for a regular smear test. It's just, and it's not something, when I was much younger, it would be something I'd want to be a bit secretive about. But now it's like, oh yeah, I'm off to the doctor's, got regular
smear. And they get a jab anyway now for cervical cancer, which is a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah. But checking your breasts needs to become as part of your health routine.
But I would say I don't feel that there's any shame in that. Do you think some girls still are a bit? Do you and your girlfriends talk openly about?
I think it's the fear more than the shame, really. Because I mean, we talk about bras, we talk about, you know, going and like our bra sizes change, you know, possibly twice a year sometimes, depending on what you're up to.
Or twice a month.
Yes, quite. We're very lucky. But it is that thing. It's just. The idea being that if you don't think about it, it will go away. Whereas, of course, we know the absolute opposite.
Which was my grandmother.
True. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So I think when girls hit puberty, you know, when they're 12 or 13 or whatever, I think if they learn then to familiarise themselves with their own breasts, and apparently what they also say for girls is that you should check them at the same time of every month, because all breasts change as you go through the menstrual cycle. They get heavier, they get bigger, they could feel more knobbly or something. So it's important that you say, you know, the first day of my period is the day I check my breasts in the shower, or, you know, whatever day you want to say, the 10th, because my birthday's on the 10th, something like that, so that you're always, so you're not clocking the changes of the month, you're clocking the change per month. And I guess if you get into that habit as a pubescent girl, which I wasn't at that stage at all, it would be great, because you really would notice a change, because you'd be familiar with them like we are with our feet, you know, which we dry when we get out of the bath every day. So we'd familiarise ourselves with a part of our body.
So if anyone out there is listening and not doing that, we beseech you to do that.
Yep, and learn how to do it properly from your doc for the first time.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So next up, we're going to debate, hey, it's okay to love winter. Let's be honest, it's October. I mean, where did that come from? Christmas is around the corner. The Christmas
Time
decorations
came
are going up.
It.
I know. Like, the lights are going up on Oxford Street. It's insane. But, you know, the nights are drawing in and it's easy to get a bit depressed around this time of year. But we were talking about this the other day in the office, saying actually some of us secretly love winter more than summer and actually kind of think, bring it on. So girls, where do we stand on this one?
Oh my God, there's a lot to be said for comfy knitwear. Gigantic, enormous knitwear. Marcus Lipford jumpers or M&S for me, realistically.
Or fleece.
Or fleece, indeed.
How much do we love fleece?
My God.
I know.
Uggs. I mean,
I love them. I wonder if will come back. Those were so huge.
Did they ever go away?
Well, quite. Sneakily to people's cupboards.
What I was going to say, I have to say, I think there's one thing to be said about this time of year, and it is that thing of being able to essentially hibernate and just not want to make social plans and go home and slip into your onesie and just watch, you know, crack TV.
I don't need a season to sneak off home and not see anybody. But I have to say, Elizabeth, you don't look very convinced by this loving of winter.
No, you know what? I like it when you put your first pair of boots on. Mm. I quite like that feeling, and you're allowed to put a scarf back on again. I don't mind that. I hate September in a way, because I always think that's the greasy hair month, where it's not. It's, yeah, I mean, this September, it was either one day it was 32 degrees, 2 days later, it was 4 degrees when I left my house to go to the set because I'm filming at the moment. I find that's quite difficult to dress for.
It's neither one thing or the other. Yeah.
Quite tricky, and you sweat or shiver.
And also, I think we need to qualify what kind of winter are we talking about here? Because there's two types of winter, really, aren't
there? We want winter wonderland.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Crisp.
Also,
exactly.
I think
dry. Bright blue sky.
I also think the mistake people make with winter is they view the sort of winter finish line as Christmas. And I think that's a real false sort of economy.
That's almost the start now.
Exactly.
Really,
because February and January
and March
are horrible. So gloomy, so rainy and miserable.
And also when it's dark at 4 p.m.
I don't approve of the clocks going back. former farmer,
yeah.
I really don't approve
now,
of the clocks.
Explain this
going
to me, Liz, because I don't quite get the farmer's logic. Can you explain to me why they would support it not basically moving?
Well, because it's dark too early and dark too early. I mean,
and they start very early as it is.
Yet they start incredibly early. It's really miserable. When I lived full time in the country for a few years, when I used to take my son to school, I used to leave the house in the pitch black on the black ice and come back in the pitch black on the black ice. It was a miserable existence. 7 hours and 54 minutes was the most daylight we got on the shortest day. I was obsessed with it. So, yeah, no, I don't think they should go back. I object.
It would make a massive... Because I do think that is psychologically the downer. I mean,
miserable.
I kind of love Christmas. I love Halloween. Can I just say also, Elizabeth, as a total sort of side note, Halloween, I don't think I've ever been to a Halloween party where a girl has not been dressed like you from Austin Powers.
That's hysterical.
It's true though, isn't it? It does feel there's always a girl dressed as Vanessa Kensington.
But that's so American to dress not just as a witch.
Oh, sexy Halloween. They love a sexy Halloween in America, don't they?
But they dress up as anything. You don't have to be a witch or a... We always have to be witches.
I know. We do ugly Halloween.
Yeah, we do. Ghouls.
Well, talking about Americanization, winter, have you noticed there's been a bit of a shift? I feel like quite a few of my friends are now embracing Thanksgiving.
That's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Nobody wants that kind of cranberry sauce.
I don't.
Sorry,
approve.
Guys. Pumpkin pie.
And Labor Day.
So sweet. Well, the other one I was going to say, but
Independence Day. It's like, hello.
But look, in all joking, do you remember Black Friday? I mean, Black Friday used to be obviously a thing connected to, you know, Thanksgiving in America, and now it's a proper thing in this country where the sales. It's called Black Friday.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
refusing to acknowledge it. I refuse Black Friday.
That is definitely not in my favourite things about winter. Winter, lovely blue sky. Lovely golden sunlight for the time that we get it. Crisp fictional snows.
That's the working title version, yeah, I think, of winter.
Exactly.
Sadly, it's not always the way
and
in this
thermals
country.
Thermals from Uniqlo.
Oh, absolutely.
My favourite. Heat tech. That's it. Heat tech.
Well,
best
I need to put
thing
on thermals.
Ever.
I was going to say, Elizabeth, I did have a feeling you wouldn't be the biggest fan because obviously Elizabeth Hurley Beach, it's been going for 10 years now. Hugely
yes.
successful swimwear range.
See, I like Black Friday for that reason. We sell yeah. I'm in favour of it.
Elizabeth Hurley Beach, lots of good bargains this
yeah,
Black Friday.
Black Friday, yeah.
but yeah, would we ever see, you know, Elizabeth Hurley puffer jackets?
Well, you know, you say that. I do quite like some winter clothes, yeah. I have to say, and I wear a lot of puffer jackets.
You need to in this country.
Do you know what? I tend to wear a skiing jacket all year round. I'm always cold.
Oh, are you one of those? Because we were talking yeah. about this the other day about girls.
Winter weight from Uniqlo. Yeah. Yeah. They're summer weight too. They're quite good.
Yeah.
I fold them up.
The thing is, people were shivering in the office, I think, the day before, and it's yeah. only October. It's going to get worse, girls.
I think it's just that the aircon has been set to February mode.
Yeah. I don't approve of air conditioning in the United Kingdom.
Oh,
we don't
really?
Need it.
Completely unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary.
I think the way to get through winter, really, open the window. To create it as we want, open the window, put on lots and lots of thermals, and just put the holiday on repeat in the background. It's the yeah, only way we're going
to
get that.
I mean, in all seriousness, though,
Christmas.
I think fashion is a big... The reason why so many of the girls were saying they love winter is the fashion is so much better, I think, generally. Or at least there's a lot more options, a lot more layers.
Yeah, and you can also just put away all your last season stuff and get all the new stuff in, which is, you know, it's always a nice start to the new season, isn't it?
But also, technically, you can cover up and eat a bit more, which is always good.
That
100%.
Well, yeah.
This office that
yeah.
we are big fans of eating in the Glamour office. So I think anything that involves covering yourself up and eating more, which, to be honest, Thanksgiving, whether you believe in it or not, Christmas, Halloween, bonfire night, it's all about stodge, isn't
all
it? So, food. Well, I think we put that one to rest. Bring on winter.
Ho, ho, ho.
So finally this week, Hey, It's Okay to Be Obsessed with the Royal Family. Now, this is obviously based on the hugely successful tour that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge made of Canada a couple of weeks ago. And obviously, adorable Prince George and Princess Charlotte stealing the show. Canada fell in love with them. The world fell in love with them. And I think the UK became even more obsessed with them. I mean, I think it's now, to be fair, I would argue a few years ago, being a royalist probably wasn't the coolest thing to be. Now, I think most people I know, I think there's a recent stat says that 70% of British people really now are ardent monarchists. So are we all big fans in this room?
I think all you have to do is look at the Glamour Instagram feed, and whenever we put a picture of either one of the royal children, everybody just goes, like, oh my God, they're so cute, oh my God, and tagging in their friends. Those two children are just absolutely adorable. And I think it helps that whenever they're taken out in public, they look like children from approximately 1945.
Beautifully dressed, in my opinion. That's how I dressed my son too when he was little.
Well, you
have to make the most of it.
You are a fan, Elizabeth. Didn't you once say that you thought Prince Charles was one of the best dressed men, or the best dressed man? Yeah, you still
very,
stand by
very
that.
Very good tailoring.
Yeah.
Yep, I appreciate that.
So
and I bet his stuff's quite old too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't sling stuff
out.
I'm
sure he doesn't just throw things away and then buy new.
Beautifully made in the first place. Mm. Very good idea.
But I'm assuming then, Elizabeth, you are a big fan of the royals.
Well, here's the thing. Since I started making my TV show called The Royals.
Funnily enough. Yes.
Funnily enough. I found myself being an enormous fan of the real royal family. Yeah. But here's the thing. I kind of look at them as showbiz.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I love the Tudors, etc. So I love the bloodline running through. But I kind of see Prince Harry as our George Clooney.
He's such a dude, isn't
you know?
He?
I think if they're like showbiz. And who doesn't love showbiz?
Well, who doesn't love showbiz, of course. But also, particularly in this age where the access can be, as you know, Kat's already mentioned Instagram, that the access to them, you can see what they're doing. And I mean, staged though it may be, but you know, you can see what they're doing at all times. And you know, it's like taking that photo op of the 80s that Charles and Di did so well, and just extrapolating that to many forums.
But you know what's
nice?
I think the fact is, though, that we don't see what they're doing all the time. Of course, we do see those fabulous staged events and public events, which are great. But unless there is somebody really, really being hideous, we don't see behind the scenes much. And I think we really appreciate that. So we don't have to have the warts and all, which we don't want.
No, you
want the fantasy a little bit, don't you?
Of course we want the fantasy. We want glass carriages and stuff.
I guess what I meant by that is that they're slightly more human, maybe, in that kind of... I mean, maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't have close relations with...
Don't you, Lindsay? I thought you were round over tea every week.
But it feels like... You know when they did the documentary? It was Ant and Dec, didn't it? Did the documentary with them. And it just... With Princes William and Harry. And you sort of felt like, oh, I feel like maybe they do watch telly and...
I'm sure they do.
And have beer of a Friday night. And, you know, like, you've got that sense of them being real people, which I think maybe is more their appeal. And obviously, you know, Kate being...
But I think security's been souped up. And I think quite rightly now, there are way less leaks about private stuff, which isn't our business.
Yeah.
And I wish it were the same in show business.
Yeah. I mean, but also I think... Let's talk about cold, hard cash. I mean, in terms of the money they now bring in terms
they're
of
fabulous.
Tourism, you know, Kate wears something, it immediately sells out. I mean, Prince George and Princess Charlotte, they wear things and it immediately sells out. People just don't seem to be able to get in. The appetite for them is insatiable,
and
quite frankly.
And they're wearing British clothes.
Yeah.
They're very good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
I think more swimwear from Elizabeth Hurley Beach.
I mean,
we can be intrusive for a while.
Yes, be true.
Long lenses just for that holiday, please.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, often playing devil's advocate here. I mean, obviously, we know our readers love Kate Middleton. But, you know, playing devil's advocate, some people would say she does play it a little bit safe when it comes to her fashion. And she could be taking a few more risks. And I think you do kind of forget at the time, Diana actually did take a lot of sort of sartorial risks with even her hair being slicked back and, you know, showing off quite a bit of leg. And I just wonder, where do we stand on the whole sort of Kate Middleton's sort of style argument?
It feels like it's picking up, definitely. There are a couple of really, really amazing things that she wore in Canada. That
I
gorgeous
agree.
Dolce & Gabbana green situation. Dress? I think so.
And McQueen, she wore that great red and white.
Absolutely stunning.
I feel like she's hiding a stylist. I think she is looking a bit edgier.
I think also, you know, let's face it, she could come out in a potato sack and look amazing. So, you know, she's obviously very blessed in that respect. But I get it, and I get why people are so interested in what she wears, but... I sometimes wish it could also be about something else.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm sure as, you know, she becomes more accustomed to public life, she probably will speak a little bit more and, you know, do more charity work where she speaks. Because I'm sure she's very interesting. She's obviously intelligent. And I'm sure she'll probably do a lot of good.
And once
she's
her
young.
Kids have grown
she's got
up.
Two kids. Yeah. Yeah. She's got two babies. Yeah. She's new to everything.
But they do have to tread
and she's
quite.
She's young.
Yeah, and they have to tread quite a difficult path, I think, don't they, the royals? Because they can't be seen to be too political, but then you kind of want them to still to have that human element and care. And I think they do. They obviously have charities they're very passionate about. And I think you're right. She's still really finding her feet, I think, Kate.
I've seen Prince William speak. He spoke at a fundraiser for underprivileged kids once, and he spoke incredibly well. I mean, they're very well educated and bright. So, and to be fair, I'm sure she will.
And to be fair, Prince Harry at the Invictus Games. I mean, he did a great speech.
Speaks beautifully. Yeah.
You know, so we're big fans. Long may they reign.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it for another week here from the Glamour Pod Cupboard. It's been a truly fabulous one. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Hurley, for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
For all the listeners out there, please do visit the website bcacampaign.com. Thank you so much again, Elizabeth. Delightful to see you. If you're enjoying the Glamour Hate OK podcast, please do keep listening, do subscribe, and please leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think. And if you want to suggest any topics for us to discuss in the Glamour Pod Cupboard, please go on Twitter and use the hashtag #HeyIt'sOK.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.